Some people like listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. And some people like drinking pickle juice. Not all that different when you get right down to it. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am him. Who are you? Who are you? Before you listen to this program, I must have proof of vaccination. If you are not vaccinated, you cannot listen to this show. Or you can listen to this show, but you have to be 7 miles away from me. It's not really that unvaccinated people pose any kind of medical threat. It's that they are just, they don't get it, so I can't relate to you. That's enough. Stop it. Welcome to the show. How are you? Good. Fine. Oh, the variant. Ugh. Oh, the Delta. Again, named after the airlines. The Delta variant. So I don't know which Delta plane I'm going to get on. That's what the Delta variant originally meant. And of course, the way this all started was that beer company. The Corona beer, that's the beer where you put the lime in the neck of the bottle. They started this virus to begin with, the coronavirus. I don't know why these companies are doing this to us. The next variant is going to be the Twinkie variant. Oh, God, enough with this. Anyway, hi, welcome. Pleasure to be with you. My allergies are killing me. Can you hear it in my voice that my nose is stuffed? It's stuffed with turkey stuffing, actually, is what it's stuffed with. That's what it feels like. A little stuffing in my nose, a little cranberry sauce up my butt. I mean, I'm a walking Thanksgiving dinner here. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? I have a friend who says that after every sentence. Hey, Jack, how you doing? I'm doing fine. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I do. Sometimes I don't, but now I do. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So I went to the store yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you said you went to the store. What? Why are you asking me this all the time? Is it to include me in conversation? What? Why are you doing this? I'm doing it because I'm trying to explain something to you. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't know what you're saying. What are you saying? After the show today, oh, it's time for my annual physical. Oh, my God. The annual physical. Oh, no. This time, the annual physical is going to be performed quite handily by by an RN. Yeah, an RN, a registered nurse. They don't have time to say the whole title. They just do the initials. I like seeing the registered nurse because I just do. I don't know if my doctor is registered or not. It's not in their title. I like the registered nurse. It's like being probed by a stranger. I know my doctor. We have a relationship. The registered nurse, I don't know her that well. It's a little more exciting. So how do I prepare for my annual physical? Well, first of all, the day before, I don't eat that much food and I don't drink alcohol. I want to appear to be as healthy as possible because the most important thing in the world to me is when I go to the doctor to appear healthy. It makes no sense. That's the time that I should appear the sickest because that's what their job is, to make me feel better. But no, that's not what we do. We try to be as we walk in and, hey, how are you feeling, Mr. Van Dam? I'm feeling great. I shouldn't even be here. I'm feeling great. We do the same thing with the dentist. What do we do before we go to the dentist? We make sure we thoroughly brush our teeth. Why? They're going to be brushing your teeth when you go to the dentist with their professional brush teething equipment. Brush teething? Did I say brush teething? Uh-oh, something's going on in the brain. The brush teething equipment. The teeth brushing should be. Anyway, so why do we do that? Why do we do that for? What do we brush our teeth for? Don't brush your teeth. They're going to do it over there. No, it's because I don't want to be yelled at by the dentist. Hey, Ron, you're an idiot. Why did you say that for? Because you're not flossing. You're not brushing. You know, if you don't take care of your teeth, they're going to fall out. Okay, take care. Have a good day. Thanks for the pep talk, doctor. It's the same with the physical. When I walk in there, my shoulders are high, and I want to appear to be the spinning image of health. I don't know why I do that. I just don't. The first thing they do when I walk into the physical thing, I want to get physical. Olivia Newton-John. That's Olivia Newton-John. Millennials, Olivia Newton-John. Yeah, three names. I've never heard of her. I know, because nothing happened before you were born. I realize that. In your mind, nothing happened before you were born. Anyway, so you go to the physical, and the first thing, there's a primary nurse that I see, a nurse's assistant, an NA, and she says, would you step on the scale, please? And my immediate reaction is, no. No, because then you're going to see what a fat asshole I am. And I know she's seen overweight people before, and I don't even know if I'm overweight. I like everything else, I'm pre-obese. Ron, you're not obese, but you're well on the road for it, baby. I'm pre-obese. I have pre-heart problems. I have pre-diabetes. I have pre-sex. I have... Everything is pre. that starts to me nothing at this point. So I get on the scale and I take my shoes off. I take my belt off. I take the wallet out of my pants, my keys. I want to appear to be as light as possible because it's not fair. In the winter, if you have a physical in the winter and you get on the scale, you're going to weigh more because you're wearing a lot of clothes. As opposed to the summer, where you're hardly wearing any clothes at all, you're going to weigh lighter. So I get my physicals in the summer because I figured this out. I figured it out. Ron, did you lose weight? No, it's the summer. Whoa. Good job. What do you mean good job? So I get on the scale, and I'm always amazed because my scale at home doesn't tell me that I'm as heavy as the scale at the doctor's office. There, for some reason, they just to make you feel bad, I weigh more at the doctor's office than I do anywhere else on the planet, even in outer space. So anyway, so I get on the scale, and then she takes my temperature and makes sure that I have one. And then she takes me into a little room where she has her way with me, and I don't mind it, really, because I have nothing else to do at that time of the day. She takes my blood pressure completely, and she puts a cuff around my arm, and she squeezes a bulb until my arm gets all disfigured. And then she takes my pulse, and she takes my purse, and she takes my pants, and it's just it's an awful experience. And then she asks me a series of questions, which the doctor repeats. When the doctor comes in, the doctor asks me the same question that the nurse did. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and she says, well, the doctor will be in a few moments. And my response is, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. The doctor's not coming in a few moments. You know the doctor's not coming in a few moments. You know the doctor isn't even in the building yet. You know that. Why are you telling me the doctor will be here in a few moments? Why are you lying to me? Is this a psychological test to see how tolerant I can be of sitting in a quiet room? So I'm sitting there, I'm reading everything on the walls, I'm starting to lick all the little ear cups, you know, and starting to go through the drawers and lick the syringes. I mean, I've got nothing else to do. I start jiggling my leg and counting the number of times I've jiggled it. It's just so boring. And finally, the doctor comes in. Now, I'm seeing a nurse's assistant today. Not a nurse's assistant. Or a doctor's assistant. No, I'm seeing a registered nurse. I don't know who the hell I'm seeing. I'm seeing a plumber, okay? So the registered nurse will come in and then start probing me. Yeah, first, they're going to ask me to put a Johnny on. And I know a few people named Johnny. I ain't putting them on. They give me I don't know what it is. It's an upper garment, and it has no back to it, or it has no front, depending on how you wear it. Nobody looks good in a Johnny. Nobody does. Nobody. I think they make you wear this to put you on a lower level, where the doctor is very well dressed with a lab coat, like they're a nuclear physicist. And I'm sitting there with a piece of cloth over my front with my ass sticking out. You feel a bit inferior under the circumstances. I think they do that psychologically. It's the only reason. And then she takes her stethoscope, because it's a she. She takes her stethoscope and just puts it on various parts of my body and asks me to breathe. I don't know if that does anything, but it further demeans me. Going to a doctor for a physical is a shaming exercise where it proves to me that the less clothes you have on, the more embarrassed you should be, the more uncomfortable you feel. She asked me to breathe, and I'm figuring, well, that seems to be one of the lesser exercises I could do for you. If she said, Ron, could you do a handstand for me? I'd say, I don't think so. Can you breathe for me? How can I refuse? Then she mixes it up and she asks me to take a breath and to hold it. And sometimes she forgets and leaves the room. And I nearly pass out. Now she asks me to hold my breath, and then she continues to probe me. She'll look in my ears, and I know that that's going to be bad. I know there's wax in there. I got more wax than a candle from that Yankee place. Yankee Candle. You ever been there, millennials? So she's going to look at my ears, and she's going to see right through the other end. And then she's going to look in my nose, look in my mouth. She's going to take a popsicle stick and stick it in my mouth without the popsicle on it. And then she's just going to look in my eyes. I don't know what she's going to see in there. There's no soul. There's no soul. What's her response? Well, Ron, I'm looking into your eyes. You have deep thoughts. What are you talking about? She'll squeeze my feet, which I don't object to. I don't have a foot fetish, but someone squeezing your foot, have a good day. I mean, enjoy. And then she just checks all parts of my body, and then the magic time comes. Oh, she'll double check my blood pressure as if the assistant who took it originally is a dope and doesn't know how to take it. Sometimes the blood pressure will be the same, sometimes different. If my blood pressure is a little high, she'll make the immediate excuse for me. Well, that's okay, Ron. People who come to the doctor's office, usually their blood pressure is a little higher because it's the kind of place that makes one uncomfortable. Oh, really? Oh, really? Then she'll go into a box and pull out a plastic or a rubber glove. I can't tell what it's made of. I think it's latex. And then she'll ask me to bend over on the table. And I know what's coming. It's her finger. And I don't know. I feel a bit more comfortable having a woman put her finger up my butt than I do a man who has to shave. That's just my sexual orientation. I prefer a woman make entry. It's not that it feels better. It just makes more sense. So she sticks her finger in there, and I don't know what she's looking for. I think it's to see if my prostate is swelling, or if my plumbing is proper. Maybe she'll help me find a sock that I lost last week in the dryer. Ron, is this your sock? Oh, there it is. Thank you, doctor. What, do you tip them at that point? What, you found something in there? Here's $10. Is that an insult? Is it an insult to tip your doctor? Anyway, and if it's not an insult, how much do you tip them? 10%? They're making better money than I am. 10%'s enough. You know, doctor, when you put your finger in there and you probed around my ass region, here's $20. Well, thank you, Ron. Thank you. Suggestion, when you tip your doctor for the ass probe, put the tip in an envelope. Just don't hand them the paper money. It's insulting. My doctor then goes through a series of questions, asks me a series of, they're quiz questions, but they're personal. Ron, do you smoke? No. And if you read my chart and did your homework, you'd know that I don't. Why are you asking me? It's on the chart. It's in the computer. By the way, to be a doctor these days, you don't have to go to medical school. No, you have to go to computer programming class, because all they do is sit there and they type stuff into the computer. That's where their proficiency really comes into play. Ron, do you smoke? No, I said I don't. Do you drink alcohol? Oh, yeah. Don't you? Ron, how many drinks would you say you have per week? Per week? Try per day. Per week? Now you're making me do math. Let's see. What's 5 times 7? No, it's not. I don't drink that much. But I like to screw with the doctor. And when the doctor, you have 35 drinks a week? No, I'm just bad at math. That's all. Do you take any recreational drugs? Volleyball and swimming. No, do you take any recreational drugs? No, just what you prescribe to me, that's all. I don't know how drugs are recreational. I don't know. Baseball is recreational. Drugs? Recreational? Well, yeah. Do you smoke marijuana? Why didn't you just ask me that? No, I don't. It's not my drug of choice. What is your drug of choice? Viagra. Okay. Ron, do you exercise? Does it look like it? No. Doctor, you are so funny. Do I exercise? Oh my God, that is so, you stop it. I can't. Doctor, this is stop it. Stop making me laugh. Oh my God. No, I don't. I exercise as much as I don't drink. Okay, Ron, that didn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? All right, Ron. Do you eat fish? Yes. Yes, I've eaten some fish in my time. About how many servings of fish do you have per week? Servings? How many servings? How many times per week do I have fish? Yeah, I have fish once a week. Well, Ron, you should have fish at least twice a week. Oh, okay. Okay, Buddha. Ron, do you eat red meat? Yes. Yes, I do. Because they sell it in the stores and it's tasty. But I try to eat really, really lean meat. Meat that's so lean it's not even meat anymore. Good, Ron. You should really stop eating red meat. Who are you? Who are you to tell me to stop eating meat? I'm your doctor. I'm telling you, there's fat in meat, and it's not good for you. Whoa, I did not come here to be judged. Ron, here's what I want you to do. I want you to exercise more, eat healthier, cut down on the alcohol, commit suicide, sit in a room and twiddle your thumbs and be bored. No, she doesn't say that to me. She really doesn't. She writes me a letter, and she does that. No, she does. She doesn't say that. Ron, I'm going to make you a lot lighter. Your copay, pay your copay on the way out. My copay? You're going to bill me anyway. Why do I need a copay? Don't I have insurance? No, your copay. You have to pay some of this. Which part am I paying for? I'll pay for the part where you stuck your finger up my ass. Because that's something that I wouldn't do, you see. That's something that's worth paying for. Not that I enjoyed it, but you did something that I wouldn't do. I mean, that's okay. I'll pay for that. How much was that? Oh, God, Ron, you're impossible. You're just impossible. I don't know why we let you into our building. You know, I don't know why either. That makes two of us. My annual physical. Oh, Lord. I don't know. You know, you reach a certain age, and it's not every year anymore. It's every 6 months. Because not only do you have your annual physical, there's a follow-up. A follow-up. The follow-up is sometimes worse than the physical. Because the follow-up just reminds you how unhealthy you probably are because you have pre-everything. The follow-up. Ron, are you here for your physical? No, I'm here for a follow-up. We're following up the physical. Why you call it a follow-up? It's another doctor's appointment. It's another question and answer period. You know, when they had the COVID thing, remember that? I did a telemedicine thing. That was pretty cool. I sat in a chair And the doctor came on the phone and we just talked it out. Doctor asked me all the usual questions. There was no finger stuff going on, no finger hut, nothing. Didn't check my ears, you know, didn't want to be close to me, didn't want to see me. I thought that was ideal. Yeah, I was pretty cool. Telemedicine. There shouldn't be a copay for that. There really shouldn't. There really, all they did was they sat on the phone with you. And I'll tell you something that was great about the telemedicine thing. I didn't have to sit in a little room and wait for the doctor to show up. They called me when they were ready to talk to me. I thought, now that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. I should be sitting at home. Ron, how far away are you from the doctor's office? About 10 minutes. All right, Ron, we'll call you about 12 minutes before. If the doctor's running behind, you don't have to come in. We'll call you because we don't want you to be in our office for too long because of the COVID thing. We don't want people sitting in the waiting room at all. So we're gonna time this perfectly. Well, that's what I've always wanted. That's what I always wanted from you. I don't want to sit in that little room for half an hour. Ron, the doctor will be right in. No, she won't. You're lying to me. Doctor's not coming in right away. Doctor's is somewhere on vacation. Why am I sitting here waiting for her? I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a doctor. I couldn't do that. I could not see all these people coming into my place of business. Half of them are sick. What do I want to see sick people for? I'm sorry you're sick. That's not pleasant for anybody to be sick. But for sick people to come to see me? No. That's why it's one of the reasons that I admire doctors is because they are treating sick people. And it's something I would not do. Are you feeling sick? Yes, I am. Stay away from me. Get away from me. Doctors, are you feeling sick? Yes, I am. I will treat you. I will take care of you. I will prescribe things to you. I will deal with you in your sick nature. That's wonderful. That's a good job. Not for me, but for them. Anyway, that's it. After I go to get my physical, about 2 days later, I'll go online and I'll find a survey. My medical people, the medical facility, for some reason want to constantly know how I feel about them. Bring it on. Bring it on. And when I see a doctor or an RN, I remind them constantly through the appointment, you better treat me well because I'm going to be taking a survey about you. So don't fuck with me. You say one wrong word. If that finger moves a little bit the wrong way in my ass, you're going to hear about it in the survey. And you're going to hear about it big time. How would you rate your visit? Oh, watch out. Here comes the survey answers. You asked, I'm telling. But you know, half the time they don't read the surveys. It's just to make you feel like you're worth something, when indeed you're not. But sometimes, and this happened to me, it happened to me, I'm raising my hand, I swear it happened to me. I gave my doctor a bad review because I was pissed about them. This happened like 5 years ago, maybe even 10. I have no concept of time. Because I have a pre-mental condition, apparently. I gave my doctor a bad review because I was pissed. It was a bad appointment. Well, a couple of days later, I get a phone call from the medical building. My doctor's on the phone. I thought they were responding to some test that I took to give me some bad news. No, my doctor says, Ron, you apparently gave me a bad review and I wanted to discuss it. Oh my God, I didn't think she was going to see this. Well, I had to talk my way out of it. Well, it wasn't a bad review. I was just in a bad mood, and I had to wait a long time. It had nothing to do with you. Oh, no. It had nothing to do with you, doctor. Oh, no. You are godlike still in the realm of the kingdom. Nothing to do with you. I had to talk my way. I was very embarrassed, and I said to myself, "Well, if you're gonna give people bad reviews, make sure that they can't call you." That happened to me once also at a CVS. I made a purchase at a CVS. I think I bought a cough drop. And I got the survey online. How do we do at CVS? And I couldn't find a cashier, and the store was smelly. Gave him a bad review. Actually got a call from CVS and the manager of that CVS store a few days later. Again, well, it's not you. It's not you. I know that the CVS corporate doesn't give you enough employees to deal with the public and you're short-staffed. I mean, it's not your fault. I'm just saying that I had to wait a long time to be cashed out. But it's not you. Oh, God, it's not you. No, it's not you. No, it's not you. No. And this is why when the doctor asks me, how many drinks do you have per week, Ron? That's why I answer the way that I do. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with me today. Let's do this again tomorrow, shall we? Until that time arrives, I wish you peace. Thanks for listening. Bye now.